Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servants, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
They were treating me no more. How can you be treating somebody in an hospital? I said, do me test. Let me even know my challenge. They say they don't have the hospital there. They don't have lab. I've gone there for 2 times. Is it this year? I mean, maybe once this year, once last year. Immediately I got there, I said, okay, just stabilize me. Immediately they stabilized me, I ran away. That first day, I ran. My wife had to call my brother. Come and pick your brother. My brother came from Port Harcourt to carry me. So I realized how helpless I was that few days when I was on injection. I could not do much, you know, that period, because the enemy thought he has seized my voice. So the only way you can win is to raise a worship to God. Sometimes everything, yes, of course, prayer is indispensable when it comes to spiritual warfare. But most times what you need to do, sometimes you just sing. Raise a voice unto the Lord. I was with my senior colleague yesterday, and he still reminded me something. He said, look, that's your case. It was just God. I was sharing with prayer team this morning, and I said, there are some people in this. Somebody has said, a driver said that this, my madam, except you are serving God before you can, you know, face that woman. So what else do we have? What else do we have? Where do we run to if not the presence of the Lord? The moment you begin to see life that way, maybe you have some change in your bank account, six figures or whatever. That's not where your help comes from. Bible says our help is in the name of the Lord. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Our help is in the name of the Lord. So we are just going to take that song and I will continue. This is our win,
win, win. This is our win.
The smoke of my worship.
The smoke of my worship. Release upon the earth.
This is our win.
This is our win.
This is our win,
the smoke of
my worship,
the smoke of my worship, really upon the earth.
This is our win,
this is our win, this is our win.
Was his weapon. And after the Lord instructed them, don't go with any bow and arrow, don't carry any AK-47, forget the armored car, just march around foolishly. He said he uses the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. Just march round foolishly, just march around and begin to sing, begin to raise a voice, begin to raise a voice. I am broken and I'm weightless. I am open and I'm yielded. Carry me. Come on, raise that voice.
Jesus, carry me.
I am broken.
I am broken and I'm weightless. Open and I'm yielded. Carry me.
Woo!
Carry me.
Jesus, carry me.
I am broken.
I am open and I'm weightless.
Open, I am weightless.
Open,
open, I am
6, which is one of my favorite scriptures. It says, wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of your times. Now imagine, you know, God carrying you on a wing, on the wings of wisdom and knowledge. You don't need to debate on the instructions of God anymore. You don't need to, even if God say, come, on this matter, don't just say anything. As they say it, just nod your head. You know, I love that story of Jehoshaphat so much that he did not have to debate. He did not have to say, ah, God, but this wall, how can we bring down this wall? He just understood the fact that when the Lord carries them on the wings of his spirit, they become at the same, you know, they become at the same level at which God is seeing things. You know, when you are down there and God is saying, jump, you'll be saying, how can this dry bone live? Because you have not gone to the level at which, the pedestal at which God can see things from. That even if you are barren, even if you have somebody in your family that the womb is gone, they said there is nothing, there is no fallopian tube. But when you depend absolutely on God and you are seen from the view and you are seen from the spectacles at which God is seen from, you will have no other option but to start buying baby things for your wife or that person. I don't know if I'm making any sense here. That's why sometimes we need to say, Lord, on this matter, I can't do it anymore. Just carry me. Just what? Carry me. I want to see the way you see it. If you say these dry bones must live, I want to see it in the perspective. I want to see it in the revelation at which you are seeing it. How? I don't know if I'm... I want to see it. So sometimes Pastor used to teach us in years back that God will give us what? Open eyes. Seeing eyes. Open eyes and hearing ears. Your ear must hear. Isaiah 50 and 54 and verse 10, it says, Isaiah 50 and verse 4, he said, he wakened me what? Morning by morning. He wakened my ear to hear as that of the learned. So there are sometimes God need to do some surgical operations in your physical ear that you begin to hear in the realms of the spirit. What God is saying concerning your destiny. What God is saying concerning your life. What God is saying that this struggle that may last, that may be enduring for now, is not going to take you down. In the name of Jesus. It looks as if you don't even know what you are doing. 2025 has come and we are going to the end of the year. You can't even boast of anything that you have achieved. But I want to tell you that the year is not over yet. Yes. Until God starts on your matter. Yes. In the name of Jesus. Yes. We are going to take that song one more time before I release the choir. Just take it from the beginning. I am broken and I'm weightless. And we put our hands to this beautiful people of God. Sound of refuge. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we just take our seat in God's presence this morning? Hallelujah. On behalf of God's servants and Pastor Benga Shafe and Jesus Christ, who is the head of this church, Harvest World Assembly, I am here to take on the first assignment this morning. I will be looking briefly at the theme
sound of refreshing. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said you have been on that mountain for too long. You have been on that struggle for too long. God is bringing refreshing to us in the mighty name of Jesus. I said God is bringing refreshing to us in the mighty name of Jesus. Many a times if you struggle over some few things and you don't know what to do, particular times, just raise a voice. You raise your voice and just begin to worship the Lord. Just begin to. That's one of the most challenging things. You know, things are not working the way you expect, and you are praising God. How? Is this guy mad? I'm sure Job's wife must have asked him a lot of questions that probably the Bible did not just capture so many of them. Is this guy actually mad? Well, yes, you can be mad for God. You can be so mad for God. Things are not working the way you expect them to work, and you know that God has said in his word, I will do a new thing. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. So what you need to do is to just raise your voice and just begin to worship the Lord. I love so many old songs that I used to sing those days. One of them, the lyrics just put it straight. You know, going through some hard times, you don't know what to do. And the songwriter say, hold on. You are too close to give up. You are just too close to give up. Remember what you have been praying for. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So most times we don't even know how close we are to our breakthrough. We don't even know how close we are to the next level at which God has promised us. But the enemy comes with all manner of that, you know, to pull us down. I pray the Lord we receive strength this morning in the name of Jesus. I pray the Lord gives us strength this morning in the name of Jesus. From scripture, it's very clear that God has promised and, you know, assured us of a glorious destiny in Christ. There is nothing outside of it. A glorious destiny for every child of God. Every child of God, no matter even if you are just an usher, even if you are a children teacher, even every child of God, whether you are a sanctuary keeper, whether you are just the least among the workers, every child of God, God has assured us in his word of a glorious destiny, a royal destiny, a mountaintop destiny, an enviable destiny. What you have that your colleague may not have or do not have if you are not saved is the Spirit of God in you. Hallelujah. I was, you know, discussing with the prayer team this morning. I said, look, most times when I pray for people, as in I just, not that I see them physically, I'm praying for them. When I remember about their matter and I pray for them, I prayed those prayers for some days, and at a point I'll begin to feel some weight on my shoulders, as in physical pains, not spiritual, on my shoulders. Then I will know at least this burden has been lifted. Then what do I need to do? I now need to rely on God. Praise the Lord for a revitalization of my own mortal bodies and my spiritual well-being as well. Praise the Lord. Now, Romans chapter 8 and verse 29 to 30, it said, for whom he did foreknow, he also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, then he also justified. And whom he justified, them he glorified. Hallelujah. That's just the picture I want to show us this morning. Whom he justified, then he glorified. First of all, if you look at verse 30, he says, moreover, whom he predestinated, them he also called. So you see, scriptures has always put it straight. He said, a glorious high throne from the beginning is the place of your sanctuary. So, whom he predestinated, them he also called. God has called us. And now he just said, then from who he also called, then he also justified. So, there is nothing that the enemy can use against you, because God has justified you that you are in the right standing with him. Hallelujah. Then he now said, the point I'm even going now is the glorified. Then he now said, whom he justified, them he also glorified. Hallelujah. So people may look at you and say, look, they don't think you can amount to anything in life. There's an instruction that came from this altar. My wife was even the one reminding me. And I reminded me, say, don't make this mistake. don't make this mistake. Years back, people look at you and can anything good come out of this one? Can anything good come out of this one? Can anything good? And pastor gave a specific instruction. He said, look, there are some persons in your family that will fall into serious ailment and they will need you to donate financially. Pastor said, please don't. I've forgotten because every day, meals, here and there. My wife had to remind me. Hallelujah. He said, then for who he justified, then he also glorified. So I'm here to tell you that you have a glorious destiny. I am here to remind you, in case you are forgotten. Like I said, one of the things the enemy, if he wants to strike you, he takes away your voice to worship, to glorify God. He takes away that voice. What is worshiping God? Oh, Father, I thank you for today. I thank you because I am alive. I am strong. I'm still standing. Even in the negative situation that I find myself in, I still give you thanks. When the enemy strikes you, do you know what he brings in first? Discouragement. Discouragement, outrightly. That's the first arrow. It happened. I was discouraged and I said, look, this job, sir, I beg, is it my job? You know that common statement, can I come and kill myself? But when I realized that that was the strategy of the enemy, I had to, you know, rewire my brain. Praise the Lord. Once discouragement sets in, that discouragement is the first level of sin, of going back to your vomit. Because you begin to ask yourself, is it worth it? I've been born again for 5 years, 6 years, 3 years. I'm serving God in spirit and in truth. Is it actually worth it? You begin to question your own self. In fact, this work that we are even doing self, where is it taking us to? Let Jesus just come. Let's go. Whereas God has, you know, kept you here for strange assignments. Some of us here, Pastor has taught us so many years ago, some of us here, we are going to be leaders of industries. That when we speak, people will listen. When we speak, people will listen. There's no office I step into that if I speak, I don't know whether it's because of my glasses or because God has told me, see these glasses, you will wear it. I don't know where, glasses just make me look so responsible. Very responsive, more than, so I just have to assume into that over-responsible, that responsibility. I just have to assume it. You see, I walk into any office and they just begin to give me way. My kind of job, I don't need to wear this kind of shoes every day. No. We don't need that. Because in field work, we jump up and down. But that day, I was going to the bank with a lady that I've been struggling for 5 years. I don't know if I've said this before. It was my wife I told. This lady has been struggling for 5 years, afflicted with stagnant academic movement. She had graduated from the university and she couldn't go for NYSC. What was the issue? I didn't even know. I thought it was carryover. I said, okay, no, you can just go back and, because that's where I know God has given me that grace. I said, you can go back and just finish, take that course again. But the challenge she had was, I think I shared that some time ago. The challenge she had was, she had four names with two surnames. Four personal names, two surnames. So she bears, you know, let's say she bears Fumilayo, Mary, then her surname. Then she now has another name that she bears with another English name that her surname. So on her WAEC is bearing one name. Jam has one name, but her BVN has, so she needs to change two names. So she has been struggling with that thing for 5 years. I didn't know. I never knew. I'm just concerned that, look, you can't just be at home and doing nothing. You must get something doing. You know, she was even reluctant to tell me because she has stalled all night. You know that song that they say she will wash the wrapper in the night and tie it in the morning? That's how it was for her. Like the woman with the issue of blood. No solution. I love the way that guy put that song. No solution. She has no solution. No solution whatsoever. She has gone. In fact, when she goes to the bank, they will first of all insult her in Igbo language. You, as old as you are, you don't even know how to put your names right. So, when she summoned courage to tell me, I said, okay. I called somebody in Benin. The person said, except she gets married. But even at that, it is one name. So she still has the problem of two names. I don't know if people are getting me. So the road was so blocked. There was no option. And I called one of my customers in Abia State there. The customer now said, okay, he will send me to somebody, but actually it is difficult. But I know that the God that I serve, there is no impossibility with God. That is what I believe. I don't know about you. You need to start believing it. With God, everything is possible. I say with God, everything, not some. Everything. Everything is possible. I dreamt I saw a minister. If I want to see that minister today, and I know it's the will of God, let me put that one. Because it might not be the will of God for me to meet with that guy. But if I want to meet that guy today, it is possible I will see him. That's one thing that has kept me. With God, everything. So I called the guy. The guy said, okay, he's going to send me somewhere to his colleague in another location. I was waiting. I wanted her to even develop a sense of responsibility. I said, okay, we are going to go. So we got there, cut the long story short. We couldn't make it the day he said, but I told him I have a meeting. I can't leave for that day. So we went the next day. Lo and behold, the day we got there, the zonal head of the bank was there. He just came visiting. And the guy said, thank God you came and this guy is here. This guy is the guy that will give the final approval. I will still come. To cut the long story short, you have to demonstrate some form of humility, you know, while dealing with issues like this. To cut the long story short, we made that movement, and within 2 weeks, that issue was corrected. That issue that she has been struggling with was corrected. And she kept asking me, what church do you attend? I first smiled, because they don't know Harvest Word Assembly. I told them, first of all, I am a child of God. Then I now told her the church I attend. So, you see, there is no issue I want to tell you today. There is no issue that you are battling with that is too big for God. When the Bible says, you know, talking about God leveling mountains, as a baby Christian, I used to imagine the rock and say he will move the mountain, Rabbi. So I used to imagine God moving a physical mountain from here to here. But there are some things God will do in your life. You will know that this one is even more than moving a physical mountain. So I came to tell you this morning that hold on to this God. There is nothing he cannot transform in your life. There is nothing he cannot change in your life. Because the moment God glorifies you, he takes the glory at the final analysis. He takes the glory at the final analysis. Praise the Lord. So you have a glorious destiny. Many of us are scared of even attempting some things because we don't know who we are. We don't know what we carry. We don't know. If you know what, if God, probably God, you are opportune to meet with God one-on-one, and God shows you your potentials and what the ability that you possess, you will come back to this earth and you'll be walking and as if your leg is not touching the ground. But the enemy tries to hide these things away from us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now I wrote something down here. I said, but as glorious as your destiny is with God, it cannot be realized without the help of the Holy Spirit. It can never. That's why most times when I'm down, I go back to God and say, look, I am broken. I am weightless. I don't have any strength. I am open. I am yielded. Just carry me. Carry me. Just carry me. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 31 and verse 25. Jeremiah 31 and verse 25. He says, for I have satiated the weary soul. I have satiated the weary soul. And I have replenished every sorrowful soul. I have replenished. I have replenished every sorrowful soul. I have replenished every sorrowful soul. I'd like you to give me that scripture also in Message translation. King James says, I have satiated the weary soul and I have replenished every sorrowful soul. Every sorrowful soul. We'll go back there. Jeremiah 31:25 in Message says, I will refresh the tired bodies and I will restore tired souls. The church is where we know that iron comes to sharpen iron. You don't come. One of the things Pastor was telling us in the meeting this morning, he said he wants to see a church that is saturated with the love of God. And that has been the core vision of this church. If I'm asking you, how are you doing? It's not because I want to mock you. It's not because I want to mock you. There's a sister that called me sometimes. She wanted to do a trip. And I know that trip was going to affect her spiritually. Hey! I call Pastor Omi straight. Me, I'll report. They know me that in my office. I can't see anything and I keep quiet. Anything that is bad. That's one of the principle. That's one of the way you can break the principle of confidentiality in psychology as a course. If you come and tell me, oh, you have this issue, you did this, you committed this and that, I can keep it. Committed abortion, you don't want your parents to know, they will kill you. I can keep it. But if it's going to lead to the death of a soul, that's where we break the principle of confidentiality. So when the lady told me that she was making a particular trip, and I tried to find out one or two things, I knew it's going to be a trip that would take her back to her vomit, that before she would pick her steps again, it would be too late. I had to call immediately. So that's because I love her. So what we are saying in church is that if I ask you, Bro Pat, how I really mean it. How are you? I'm not trying to mock you. I'm not trying to say, oh, because I'm putting on shoes and he's putting on pants. I'm not asking. No. In fact, if you do it with an intention to mock somebody, it's now a sin. I don't know, because I put myself in some pedestal that somebody told me if you come out with a tutu, it's a sin. If you fail, it's a sin. Oh. So if you fail in this life, you can decide as a child of God, if I fail in this life, I have committed a sin. Then you will not know how to guide your step. Because you have put yourself in some form of high ranking. I can't have a B in this course. I can't have a C. In fact, in this my office, if I am not doing well, it's a sin. It's a sin. You are being paid. So the moment you are retrogressing in your responsibilities, see it as a sin. That will even guide you. Praise the Lord. So the moment I look at a brother and I'm trying to say, how are you? And I'm trying to mock him in my heart, then I know that I've committed sin. These scriptures and serving God is so simple. It's very simple. I learned from a man of God that raised a simple prayer. I had that prayer as part of my 3 prayer points the week I got saved. I prayed that prayer for almost 2 years. I think I need to go back to it. One of them was, God, please do not take your Holy Spirit away from me. I learned that from David. Please, do not take your... The moment the Holy Spirit leaves a man of God or a child of God, you are like an empty barrel. They raise you up and you drop down. Can't come. You are empty. No signals. Things are happening. You don't get any signals. Then the second one was, Lord, every day of my life, may I experience a fresh anointing. Your fresh anointing every day of my life. Then the third one is, if my tomorrow, that's the most dangerous one, you know more than me, if my tomorrow will take me back to my vomit, that is, take me back into the life I was living, take me today. It's not worth it. After I have done all of this, I now stand before God and say, Jesus. Imagine, by the time you begin to imagine those things, you will take your Christian life very serious. Hallelujah. If my tomorrow is going to take me back to my vomit, I say, Lord, just take me now. Now, he said, I will refresh the tired bodies and I will restore tired souls. There is restoration for somebody this morning. I said, there is restoration for someone this morning. He said, that is to say, before the Lord will imprint this in his word, he knew from the beginning that at the point in time, we are going to be tired. Abraham was tired. And what happened? Hagar said, come on. Sarah said, just go into Hagar. Just do it once. And you know what happened afterwards? So at that point at which we are tired, you will know. Nobody will tell you. I had experienced it raw. I went to Pastor Omi that time. Pastor was so busy. In fact, that time I was just, let me not disturb Pastor. Pastor, if you go and meet Pastor that time as a pastor, you say, what is it, Pastor? I don't humble myself. I went to meet Pastor Omi. 2017. Pastor Omi, I'm tired. I am tired. My father-in-law was not saying I should wait. I should not marry now. I should just wait. I said, oh, God, leave me. Let me marry. Let this call pass over me. So all of those things, I was so tired. As if I didn't have a direction in life. Hallelujah. So God knew. But he said, there is refreshing for tired bodies. You think your body will not be tired? Your body will be tired. You will be so tired, but that's when you need to run to God the more. Sometimes it's good to take normal medication. But when you feel that way, go back to scriptures and say, Lord, you said in Jeremiah 31 and verse 25, you said you will refresh my tired bodies. And you also said you will restore my tired soul. My soul is tired for this assignment. If you are not refreshed and restored, how can you do the work of God? In fact, the next person will know that this person is tired. Imagine you are talking to me and I'm not smiling with you. You are talking to me, I'm not giving you that nodding acquaintance. I'm not saying, really, you mean, oh, wow. You will just know that this guy is not the person you should talk to because he's already tired. And what happens to the other vessel? It now moves. So she lacks the person to talk to, and that's how the enemy keeps tormenting. So it's good to run to God and say, Baba, help me. Just help me. Praise the Lord. Praise Jesus. It's common. You know, the daily life of a Christian, especially in a city like Lagos. I thought it's only Lagos, they just bash your car anyhow. I was just in my car sending a mail because in my role, even if you are traveling from Lagos to Ibadan, there are some mails I must send. There are some mails I have the authority only to send. I can't delegate it except I write officially and say this person should handle my work. So sometimes when I'm on that kind of journey, I put off my MTN line and I leave the other one. So anybody calls me, I know it's very urgent and important. I just quickly pack. And so I was just in my car that day and was just trying to forward the mail, packed well. Somebody just came and hit the car that she was reversing. I'm like, I wanted to be, and I just fixed that car. The enemy wanted to push me to respond in the flesh. Madam, wait, see. Abba, I know what I would have said. But I just said, next time, please be looking at your side mirrors. And you have even a mirror in. You know what they told me? One woman said, this guy is nice. So, I said, this man, I don't know. At the end of the day, I'm the one spending about 60% to fix that car. That's what the Holy Spirit does in us. It breaks us. Breaks us. What would have made you to say, what would have made you just maintain? That's how people will now know that this person has the Spirit of God in him. But let me tell you, you might have the Spirit of God in you, but if you don't engage that Spirit, you will respond in the flesh. If you don't engage that Spirit on a daily basis and surrender yourself. That's why I love what David said. Psalm 139 and verse 23 and 24. He says, search me, O God. Try me. No matter. Inside this heart, I want to kill that person. He says, search me, try me, and see if there's any wickedness in me. Now, Lord, lead me in the way that is right. So if you don't engage the Holy Spirit on a daily basis, you will offend God. And gradually, you are becoming weak in the faith. Gradually, you are sliding to your vomit until the devil will grab you. Praise the Lord. So I encourage every one of us, after today's service, please go to God. There are simple scriptures that you can just use. If I talk to him any way you can. Praise the Lord. Praise Jesus. So now my focus mostly is the Holy Spirit. So we are concentrating on the Holy Spirit. That's why I'm trying to emphasize more on Spirit help when it comes to God, you know, refreshing us and restoring us. Now, he said, as we know, in the book of Acts of Apostles, if you look at Acts of Apostles, from the beginning, talking about Jesus' resurrection, and after which he appeared to his disciples, and his ascension to heaven. Then the disciples were left in the dark. After Jesus left, he told them to tarry. So in that period of waiting, they were left in the dark. They were waiting. Acts 1:8. They were waiting to receive the special one, which is the Holy Spirit of promise. So they were waiting, and as Jesus asked them to wait, he asked them to tarry until they be endued with power from on high. And we see that in Acts of Apostles chapter 2, they were all filled with what? The Holy Spirit. And that began a new season in the life of a believer. That began a new season, and refreshing started in their lives. And now we see what the refreshing brought to those disciples. One, they had power. That's why most times as a believer, I walked into that place because I carry something that they did not see. I carry something. That's how every believer, that's how we are. That there is nothing you want to get in your organization that you cannot get. Transfer it to your business. There is nothing impossible with God and with you that God lives inside that you cannot achieve. Hallelujah. There is nothing. So that power, we see that power being demonstrated out of Apostles chapter 10 and verse 38, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. He went about doing good and healing all those that were oppressed, for God was with him. He is in us. Even when Jesus needed money, what happened? He caught a fish. So most times we just think it's only as scripture has said it. I heard a story of a man of God that was a senior man of God in this country that was apprehended by AFCC. And they said, how did you get the money to do this and do that? How did you get it to build this mega city? And he just put on his phone, one of his phones that he received alerts. He just put the phone there. EFCC was there with him. They were just interviewing him, talking to him, trying to see if they can get something. And he asked them, okay, let me, he requested for that phone, and he put it on. And alerts, money started coming in from north, south, east, and west. And those people went away from that place with shame. Anyone that is about to embarrass you, the Lord will bring shame to them. Amen. I say, any Sambalak and Tobias that has been conspiring against you to bring shame to you, the Lord will give them double shame. Amen. And that was how they left him. Praise the Lord. So you see in Acts of Apostles chapter 10 and verse 38, God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and with power. Then if you look at scriptures in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 4 and 5. Can we have 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 4 and 5? Paul was speaking there. He said, my words and my preaching is not in enticing words of man's philosophy. It's not in enticing words of man's psychology. Is not in enticing words of man, whatever, Greek, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and power. Hallelujah. A demonstration of what? The Spirit and power. That your faith should stand in the, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in what? The power of God. Hallelujah. Then we saw another, you know, advantage of the Holy Spirit being bestowed onto the Acts of Apostles Church. Another advantage was growth. And we saw that evident in Acts of Apostles chapter 2 and verse 47. You know, praising God and having favor with God and men. And God did what? He added to the church daily such as to be saved. Hallelujah. And the final one is joy. The Holy Spirit in you brings lasting joy. When the Holy Spirit begins to refresh you, it brings lasting joy. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And if you go down through Acts of Apostles chapter 3, you will see that because of the power of the Holy Ghost that had been bestowed on Peter, we saw that Peter, in Peter's second message to the church, he was so bold. In his first message in Acts 2 and verse 37 to 38, he said something. He said, repent. Repent now, and you receive what? The gift of the Holy Spirit. Repent. He was so bold in saying that. And if you see in that chapter 3, because of the power they received, what happened? They saw a lame man. The lame man was already begging for alms. What did they do? They healed him. Hallelujah. They healed him. So, at every point in time when we don't know what to do concerning our lives, concerning any matter, please go back to God and ask him for help. I used to be, in fact, there was a time I said something in church. I said, look, a believer must get up at least 4 a.m. to pray. I said that I've not started this 9-to-5 job. And a banker, I won't mention her name, she just looked at me. And after service, she said, Pastor Bara, do you think this is possible? I said, it's possible now. I said, it's possible. My dear, when I started, I told my wife that we need to do a retreat 6 hours. I said, I will not do anything more than 8. Because 8, if they start calling me, I need to pick my call. So I need to start, maybe break it, do 4 hours in the morning. And she said, I can break it, do. She said, what? So most times, when you get to that point, that breaking point, run to him and ask him. Sometimes we just believe he's there, he knows, and we don't want to engage him. We don't want to engage him. And we just assume he knows. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's why I started with that song. Carry me upon the wings of your spirit. I can't. Today I woke up 2 a.m. and I was doing some things. I can't remember when I woke up 2 a.m. last. If I woke up 2 a.m., I would just look around, maybe plug my phone, and I would just go and sleep. Because there's some dimension of spirit help that I need. I wake up maybe 4 a.m., I do what I want to do, and 8 a.m., I start preparing to leave the house. So sometimes we are weak in our bodies, but the Lord has assured us today there's refreshing for us. In the name of Jesus, I say there's refreshing for our mortal bodies. In the mighty name of Jesus. Now, I have shared those 3 prayer points that I used to pray with. We are going to raise them as I begin to round up. But I want us to quickly look at the man, Job. The man, Job. I wonder how Job was able to survive after. Maybe I need to sit down under pastor's feet, one-on-one. Let him just, in his spare time, I need to learn the kind of spirit help that Job had. I know it's the Holy Spirit, but what gave him that grace to stand firm, even when your wife, his own wife, once your wife is against you, just know that you are finished. Even his wife and his own friends, you can decide to do away with your friends. You can decide to do away with your friends. But you see your wife. So I need to do a study, and maybe an elaborate study, sit more and understand this man, Job. We see in scriptures, we understand clearly that he lost everything. Then how God helped him. Because we all know the story. We all know the story of Job. So I'm not here to bore us with that story. He lost everything. But I think God put that story there for us to know that you have not gotten to that level yet. So if you have not, God forbid, you have not gotten to that level of Job, then why are you giving up? Then why are you discouraged? How can somebody lose all his children? Am I correct? Job lost all his children. I was telling them this morning that it is easier for me to lose a house. Maybe I build a particular house. I say, okay, I don't like this house again. Government demolishes it. They don't pay me. Okay, no problem. You lose a house. You lose something that you bought, tangible thing that you bought that you can buy again. But you see children that have grown to a particular level. How did he now stand and face God and say, God, you are so good. There is nothing that can be compared unto you. Lord, you are faithful. What gave him that kind of refreshing that he did not have to curse God? Or he did not have to turn his back? Hallelujah. So if you look at the story of Job, in fact, there was a part of scripture in Job. He said, my righteousness I hold fast and will not let it go. He said, my heart will not reproach me so long as I live. What kind of faith is that? The despite all that happened to him, he said, my righteousness, I hold it dear to my heart. Let me get that scripture. I think it's Job chapter 6. Let's look at it. Because most times we just look at God fought the battles, he won the war, he did all manner, and we forget some kind of things. And that's where the enemy is hitting us hard. Yeah? Let's look at Job. I think it's Job chapter 6.
Media, just help me if you have seen it. Okay, let me. Okay, go on. He said Job 6 verse 1. He said, no, take it from verse 4.
To be sure. Okay, let's see verse 5. Let me just get this Job. I want us to look at that scripture, analyze it critically. I think. Okay, sorry. Job 27 verse 6. I know it's something it has to do with 6. Job 27 6.
He also gave me a message. I want it to be as simple as possible. He said, my righteousness I hold fast. Let's see from verse 5. Better we can get the history of this scripture. He said, God forbid that I should justify you. Till I die, I will not remove my integrity from me. Hey! He said, till I die. We die here in this matter. Till I die, I will not remove my integrity from me. Maybe they were bribing him with $5 billion. So let's see the next verse. Okay, can we just even see from verse 1? Let's see if we can pick anything as we begin to round up. Let me see from verse 1. It's not part of my... So moreover, Job continued his parable and said, let's see verse 2. As God liveth, who had taken away my judgment, and the Almighty who had vexed my soul, all the while my breath is in me and the Spirit of God is in my nostrils. He still acknowledged that God kept him alive. I hope you understand that. He still acknowledged that the fact that he's going through some challenges and some turmoils in life, he's not lying critically ill. He's not lying critically ill in the hospital that he cannot move. You know, some people have to feed through their nostrils. Do you know that some people are feeding through their nostrils? Some people cannot use the toilet for 2 weeks. Aha. Uh-huh. Go ahead. So he still acknowledged the fact that God still allowed him to even breathe at least. He said, my lips shall not speak wickedness, nor my tongue utter deceit. That's where the enemy wants him to get to. They tried everything for his lips to speak wickedness, curse God, and die. Just curse God. Just tell God, what kind of a father are you? You promised me a glorious high throne. Why am I going through all these shenanigans? Are you sure you are my God? In fact, are you sure you can do it? Or you are just a God that will use us and dump us? He said, my lips will not speak wickedness, nor my tongue utter deceit. Go on, verse 5. And I say, God forbid that I should justify you. God forbid that I should begin to, you know, talk recklessly about you. And who are you to judge God? We judge him faithful. Whether in good times, whether in bad times, God is faithful. Whether things are moving the way we expect it, whether they are not moving, God is faithful. See, God forbid that I should justify you. Till I die, I will not remove my integrity from me. Go ahead. My righteousness I hold fast. So, you have to guard your righteousness. That's why we need the Spirit help. You have to guard it. Guard it. Build that kind of fence like the wall of Jericho around your heart. Build it with the word of God. You have to build it around your heart. God, nothing should come and pluck your righteousness. Nothing should come and tempt you. Nothing should, oh my God. Nothing. Nothing should try and pluck it and you shake. Nothing. Scriptures is there to encourage us. That's why scriptures, Adam did not have these scriptures. Most of them did not have it, but we have it. He said, my righteousness I hold fast and will not let it go. My heart shall not reproach me so long as I live. Go ahead. Let me see the next verse. He said, let my enemy be as the wicked, and let he that rise up against me as the unrighteousness. Praise the Lord. So if you can imagine, just imagine, think and pause. Because most times when we study the scripture, we don't meditate. That's the problem we have. We don't meditate. We just read the scripture as though we are reading newspaper. We don't take time to say, what is scripture saying here? I had this Bible and I had Amplified. Then, those were my two study Bibles almost 10 years ago. Amplified, hard copy, is in the house. I'll go and look for it. So, and the Middle Concordance. So, when I see a particular scripture, I first of all check it in the Middle Concordance to know what this scripture actually means. Then I look at it in Amplified, juxtapose all of them, and I come out prepared for the warfare. Hallelujah. But an average Christian just wants to just have only church notes
and they go back with that church notes. They don't even read the scripture or open the Bible. They just go back. If some of us will not even open the notes. The Lord help us in the mighty name of Jesus. I said the Lord help us in the mighty name of Jesus. So we saw where Job had his confidence in. We saw that he went through all manner. I don't think anybody here must have gone through what Job went through. Disappointments, career loss, those ones are periphery things. He lost children. He lost his business. Imagine you have somebody as the richest man in this Africa losing all he had in 1 week. How do you think that kind of a person can stand? Praise the Lord. But our help is in the name of the Lord. Can we rise as we just pray? Our help is in the name of the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 25. We are going to pray with this scripture as though we mean it. The Lord gave me this scripture specifically for me and by extension to the body of Christ. Jeremiah 31 and verse 25. We are going to raise up our voice and we are going to pray. He said, for I have... Okay, so say, I will refresh tired bodies. I will restore tired soul. You know where you are tired. You know me. Let me explain something to you. For me, once I jump on a role, on a career path, not my personal business now. If I'm working for somebody, I realize that staying there on one role, 2 years, I start desiring to move up. So 2 years, I become insufficiently challenged. Now my current role, I am already saying, I need to move up. So when there is an hunger, the hunger starts from your inside. When you are dissatisfied with your current position, that's only where the Holy Spirit can step in. That's only where God can change your situation. So I like us to lift up our voice. You know that area that which you are tired. You want a change. You want to see God act swiftly or else you die. Lift up your voice and begin to talk to God this morning. In the beginning of this message, I said, the first strategy of the enemy is to bring in discouragement to the life of every believer. Discouragement. You know what discouragement does? After you graduate from that level of discouragement, it now separates you from the belief, from the house of God, from the household of faith. It separates you. You now be like, what am I? Why is she calling me safe? Why is she calling me? They've not seen you for your normal pre-service prayer. They've not seen you for choir rehearsal. They've not seen you for a while. And they are calling you. So that arrow now begins to migrate from discouragement to separation to bitterness. Why offense? Everything, it now begins to degenerate. If God opens you up to devil's toolbox, Satan's toolbox, it's not too big. I have an experience. It's a small box, but everything evil is in that box. That box is not as, it's just a little bit bigger than first aid box, physically. But everything demonic is inside that box. You won't want to experience it. See, you won't even want your, because at the end of the day, what will not happen is the loss of that soul. Most times it comes through suicide and all manner. I've not seen somebody for a while. You don't know what the person is even going through. And that person, the devil has already isolated that person to kill that person. What is the assignment? Three. What is the three cardinal assignment? To kill. Is it kill first? To steal, sorry. If he cannot steal it, what happened? He tried to kill it. If he cannot kill it. You know how children, you want to collect something from their hand and they don't want you to collect it. Well, let's just steal it. Let's scatter it. That's the, you know, let's cuckoo destroy it. So if he cannot steal it, your destiny, he want to kill it. Steal means that he will steal it and you are just empty. If he cannot achieve that, he will try to kill it from the root. If he cannot, okay, let's just dabaru it. He will be coming to church. Let's scatter it. He will be coming to church, but he's useless. He's like a walking corpse. He's moving, but he's dead. So we are going to pray with this scripture as I round up. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. He said, but the God of all grace. See, when you want to pray these prayers, please, your spirit, Your spirit sometimes may dump out when you are praying some kind of prayers. Eh? Sometimes you can even be in that prayer mood for 30 minutes and you are not feeling yourself. You are praying the Holy Ghost, but you are not feeling. See, wherever that spirit, command your spirit to come back. I'm giving you another strategy. Sometimes when you start praying this kind of prayer alone, your spirit will leave you. You say, this guy, he don't start. I don't know the kind, you know, he don't carry me go where I don't know. Call him to come back. Then engage the Holy Spirit. So when you are praying this kind of prayer, you will shout. Forget your neighbor. You pay the rent. Don't care. He said, you must be alive inside and outside, physically and spiritually. He said, but the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. Satan knows this already. He has called you unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. After that, you have suffered for a while. He suffers for a while. He will make you perfect. He will establish you. He will strengthen you and he will settle you. Just the way he did for Job. So we are going to pray in just 3 minutes and say, Lord, my brother, my sister, I've suffered for a while. Lord, make him perfect. Establish him. Strengthen him. Settle him in the name of Jesus. Can we lift up our voice as we begin to pray?